Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to say thank you so much once again for taking time out of your busy life to join me today on the broadcast. Today is Thursday, July 15th, 2021. I want to explore a very important theme this morning on The Cross in the Desert. It's from my book that I wrote 9 years ago this month. It's entitled Driven by the Wind, The Calling of Terra. The theme is the longing, the quest for the meaning of life, and what is truth. These are very important spiritual experiences that I would say most every one of us experience sometime in our lifetime. In my book, Driven by the Wind, I have a young, free-spirited, independent woman named Tara. And she is a very, very experienced sailing woman. She has a brother named Nathan who decides that he wants to circumnavigate the globe. He wants to sail around the world in his very souped-up sailboat. And so he embarks on a journey with all the sophisticated equipment, satellite phone, et cetera. And he's out there in the middle of the Indian Ocean. He's more than halfway around the world, and suddenly he disappears. Well, now, the Indian Ocean is one of the most treacherous oceans, the largest oceans in all of the world, more than 26 different species of sharks, and very turbulent. So the feeling that the worst has happened is gripped Tara. Almost every morning, she goes out on the beach of San Diego, looking at the horizon, waiting for her brother to return. And, of course, he never has. It's a year later. But Tara has decided that the answers to life, everything, is out on the world of the wind and waves. And so she has decided, I have got to get in my boat. I'll get a boat like my brother's. I'll get a refurbished special boat, and I'll go out there. I am determined to find out what happened to Nathan. But there's more going on in her life than just looking for her brother that disappeared. You see, Tara, even though she's very strong-willed, free-spirited, and independent, she has an emptiness inside that most of us do. When there is no presence of God and truth in your life, that's what happens. And she has a longing. Every time she goes to the beach and she picks out her guitar and starts to play, she's mesmerized by the ocean waves, the beautiful stars at night. There is an emptiness and a longing in her heart. Well, I won't tell you much more about the book. I want you to read it. But believe me, it's unlike anything you've ever read before. But I wanted to read to you the preface to this book because it's all about what I want to talk to you today about. I wrote a song a few years ago called The Longing. And in the preface of the book, I feature a few of those lyrics. I feel so dry and empty inside. There is no rest from the tears I cry. I'm broken and bruised, and I feel I've died. But I have a real thirst that won't be denied. It's the longing. The great apologist and Oxford teacher C.S. Lewis describes in his book that inward thirst that all human beings have for something better in life, and he calls it the longing. In his classic book, Until We Have Faces, Lewis writes, quote, "The sweetest thing in all my life has been the longing to reach the mountain, to find the place where all the beauty comes from." Human beings are on a spiritual quest to find satisfaction, an inward longing to discover that something that will bring fulfillment and meaning to their lives. Lewis proclaims that if I discover within myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. Driven by the Wind, The Calling of Tara is a book about this quest. Tara is drawn to the ocean. She has an inner urge of belonging to the high seas. Nothing else will satisfy her. She has a longing that on the ocean, her world of the wind and the waves, that somewhere out there are the answers that she is looking for. In her brokenness and pain, Tara embarks on a solo navigation of the world in her little sailboat, the Mistral Wind. And however, this book, Driven by the Wind, is much more than just an adventure on the high seas. It's a journey, a spiritual journey that all of us have taken at one time or another. Whether in a sailboat or a car or climbing up a mountain, we have at one time answered this inward call to discover our purpose in life, to get the answers to our suffering and pain and misery. So my question this morning to us from this book is, do you have a longing, a tugging at your heart? Well, then if you do, this morning, come along with me on this journey, the voyage of inward discovery. Now, Tara got in her sailboat to answer that inward longing, and the God of irresistible love pursued her all over the world in her tiny little sailboat. I want to talk to us this morning about that inward calling, that inward longing, in the context of the quest for the meaning of life. You know, philosophers down through the ages have been on a quest for the meaning of life. That would include you. From Socrates to Plato and many others, the quest to discover what is ultimate reality has consumed the thinking of man for more than 1,000 years. In all of that time, though, has the search yielded any solid answer? What have the philosophers discovered? What has the Platos of the world, the Socrates of the world, what have they discovered? Well, let me answer that. About 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, on the night before his crucifixion, made a startling claim to his disciples in regard to the quest for the meaning of life. Jesus declared, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." John 14:6. Well, what a bold declaration. Jesus was saying to his disciples, if you want to know the way, I am the way. If you want to discover the truth, just look at me. And if you are on the quest for the meaning of life, come to me. You know, I can just imagine the astonishment on the faces of every philosopher, if they were there that night listening to Jesus. They would have had many questions and would have called Jesus to account for such a bold statement. They may have asked, how can you say that? What qualifies you? What qualifies you, Jesus, to make such a bold claim? Well, that's a fair question. How can Jesus make such a bold statement? Well, one way we can find out is look at his life's record. During his earthly ministry, Jesus healed the sick and raised the dead. He showed compassion on the hurting and broken and gave hope to those who were despaired of life. Therefore, Jesus can make the claim that if you want life, life as it was meant to be, come to me. Now, Jesus also exposed false prophets. He spent much of his time correcting the religious leaders for misrepresenting the law of God. He never lied. He always spoke the truth. Therefore, Jesus can make the claim that if you want to know the truth, come to me. Last of all, but most important, the claims of Jesus were not just empty words written in a book thousands of years ago to inspire people. The claims of Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life, were made the night before his crucifixion. The next day, the religious leaders had Jesus tried for blasphemy, for claiming to be God, and he was nailed to a wooden cross. He died an excruciating death, but 3 days later, he rose up from the grave and appeared to his disciples. What am I saying? Well, the claims of Jesus were vindicated by his resurrection. The point is, Jesus is not a dead philosopher, but a living Savior. He not only made these bold claims, I am the way, the truth, and the life, but he's alive today to demonstrate that everything he said is true. So if you are on a journey for the quest of the meaning of life, then I invite you to seriously consider the claims of Jesus. And why am I saying that? Well, they have stood the test of time and literally have changed the lives of billions of people. The quest for the meaning of life. Now, the corresponding next subject to that quest is, what is truth? How do I know what you're saying is true, Randy? Because again, what is truth? That's another philosophical debating question. Well, again, philosophers, sages, even theologians have debated down through the centuries as to what is truth. And if you ask a college student on any given campus, what is truth? Well, you're bound to receive answers such as, everyone has an opinion or a preference, to each his own, and whatever I decide is right. What's true for you is true for you, but it may not be true for me. You'll get answers like that. Well, again, I want to go right back 2,000 years ago, standing before Pontius Pilate. Jesus didn't give an opinion or quote any of the philosophers. Instead, he made a startling affirmation as to what truth was. Now, you know, Pontius Pilate was the Roman governor, if you will. He had the right to free Jesus, who had been arrested, or have him crucified. And the crowds were clanging, have him crucified. And so Pontius Pilate was standing there, the Roman proctor. And Jesus is standing there. He's just been scourged beyond belief. And he's standing before Pontius Pilate, and he looks directly in his eyes, and this is what he says. I was born and came into the world to testify of the truth. All who love the truth recognize that what I say is true. John chapter 18, verse 37. We've just talked about Jesus saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and here he is standing before Pontius Pilate saying, I was born and came into this world to testify what truth is. All who recognize truth, all who love the truth, are going to believe what I say. Well, Pilate couldn't believe his ears. Who does this man think he is? Instead of bowing down in awe and worship to me, he mocked Christ's declaration, and he scoffingly replied, "What is truth?" That was his answer. Well, it was a mock of what is truth. Truth is that which corresponds to reality. That's which is true. But our culture has carried on the same mocking as Pilate and ridicule about the nature of truth. Truth is irrelevant. Only what I decide is right is the mood of our culture. Casting aside all respect and ridiculing and rebelling against any recognized authority, our culture has abandoned any standard of righteousness, and they've replaced it with their own whims and wishes. Truth has really been reduced to preference and whatever feels right at the moment. Well, no wonder there is violence in schools, kids killing other kids, kids murdering their parents. When truth is abandoned, we lose our moral sensitivity. And what happens is we begin calling what is evil good. The sad lament in the book of Judges was that, quote, everyone was doing what was right in the sight of their own eyes. And as a result, if you read the book of Judges, there was moral and spiritual decay resulting in the judgment of God. I'm going to do what's right. Whatever I feel is right, that's what I'm going to do. Whatever is right in my own eyes, that's what's true. Well, but remember what we've been learning today on the quest for the meaning of life. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Three chapters later, Jesus prays to his Father, and what does he say? Teach them your word, which is truth. So we know God's word, according to Jesus, is truth. The Bible presents God as a God of truth and integrity. Unfortunately, most of our culture has the cynicism and the unbelief of Pilate, mockingly saying, what is truth? So let me ask you a question today as we conclude. Do you care about what is true and false? Jesus says that if you love the truth, then you will believe and obey him. Our culture is suffering from what I call truth decay. The only remedy to that is truth decay, is proclaiming Christ as the truth and affirming that his word is the final authority. And if you want a life of integrity that will stand against the storms of life when all other foundations are crumbling, then I say to you, come to Christ, be safe, cure in the truth. That's what's wrong today. We refuse to recognize authority. We refuse to recognize truth. And then we're asking the question, well, I'm confused. I'm broken inside. What is the meaning of life? Now, it can become a very subjective answer to everyone. Everyone has a different idea what life is like. They have a different preference, a different worldview. But as this morning we've looked carefully at Scripture and the claims of Christ, we have come to the conclusion that there is truth, and truth is a person. Truth is a living, breathing person who demonstrated truth and integrity in his life. He overcame Satan, death, and sin because he is the truth, and he rose again. And this is much more than just a Bible verse or an experience. It is the foundation of everything that life is. The meaning of life ultimately is in a person. It's not found looking within yourself. It's not found going to some guru and meditating or reciting some kind of chant under your breath. It is a person. It is Jesus. And what a beautiful name that is. I want us to reflect on that as we listen to this song of worship by Hillsong. What a beautiful name.
You are the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful
Beautiful worship from Hillsong. What a beautiful name. Is that name of Jesus meaningful and beautiful to you? This morning on the cross in the desert, we have been looking intently at the quest for the meaning of life and what is truth. And the answer that keeps coming back and resonating from all of this is Jesus. What a beautiful name. A beautiful person. Jesus has the answers. He is the answer. He's not a philosopher or a sage or a great rabbi. He is God. And that's what you need. You don't need an opinion. You don't need someone to give you a pep talk. You don't need someone to necessarily encourage you. All of that is important. Don't get me wrong. You need answers. You need solutions. And the Bible says that the solution is coming to the end of yourself, where you no longer are looking to yourself or trusting in you, but that you have surrendered that and you say, God help me. When you've reached the absolute pit, the last plank, the last straw that broke the camel's back, when you have reached the end of yourself, the deepest pit, the hand and the love of God is there for you. He is in your deepest longing, the deepest pit, the deepest of darkness, because he is the light of the world. And whoever follows Jesus will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. It's your choice this morning. When you look at what Jesus says of himself, when you look at truth staring you right in the face, don't be like Pilate that says, well, what is truth? Instead, embrace the truth. Come to the light. Come to the truth. Your life will never be the same again. Jesus is the bread of life. Whoever believes in him will never thirst. Whoever comes to him will never be hungry again. I hope that you have that drawing and longing, and I hope that Jesus will satisfy that longing in your life. I want to thank you for listening this morning to The Cross in the Desert. Listen again and again and again, and let Jesus speak to you about the quest for the meaning of life. Have yourself a great weekend. God bless you. I will see you again on Monday on The Cross in the Desert. Thank you.